Please be seated. Amen. I don't know about you, but that song there, like many others, bring to mind that in the midst of everything that I go through, Jesus is always in control. And that song says he'll fix it after a while. In his time. It's good to see each and every one of you this morning. I really hope and pray that all is well with you. I don't know about you, as I look at and survey my life, I'm just making sure that I'm going to make my calling and election sure. And as we've been looking at these lessons out of Galatians chapter 5, Paul's letter to the church at Galatia, talking about these 9 spiritual attributes that the believer has to possess. And I'm learning that when we possess these 9 attributes, it'll raise us to a higher plateau in our Christian walk. But you know what? It'll also help you in your physical walk. Amen. And so Paul here writes these words to encourage the believer, to remind the believer that this spirit that we have comes from God himself. So in this lesson text, Paul talks about God's spirit being manifested in our everyday life. And when it's manifested in our everyday life, it guides us, it directs us, and it comforts us in the midst of everything that goes on around us. Jesus told the apostles that they would receive this spirit after he departs and go on back to glory. In John chapter 16, around about verse number 13, the Bible says, "How be it, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truths. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hears, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, and he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." Very powerful, the spirit that God has given us. And so in our lesson text in Galatians chapter 5 and round about verse number 22, Paul talks about the attributes of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is alive and well. Now, whether it's alive and well in your life, that's a different story. But the Spirit of God is alive and well, and it will remain alive and well till God sends his son. His son comes and delivers the kingdom back to his father. So in the midst of everything that goes on, you and I ought to be the most excited people on the face of the earth. Amen. Ought to be the most motivated people on the face of the earth. You ought to be so enthused about who you are. Yes. That you impact the lives of everybody you come in contact with. Why? Because God has given us his Holy Spirit. And when we let go and let it guide us and direct us in our everyday life, men and women are drawn to the cross merely by the example of what we say and do in our everyday life. I believe in John chapter 12 and round about verse number 32, Jesus said, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto myself." And so how do we lift up Jesus? By living it in our everyday life. By allowing Jesus, the Spirit, to dwell in us. By allowing the words to come out of our mouth. And the life that we live ought to be such a way that folks are drawn by the example of our life. You've heard me say on many occasions, we ought to live this thing so much that when we open our mouths, we just blow people away. Amen. Why? That's because that's the power of the word. In Philippians chapter 1 and round about verse number 27, Paul said, "Only let your conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Christ." Paul says, "Whether I come and see you or I'm absent from you, I may hear of your affairs." What affairs do you hear about me? What are they saying about the preacher in Apple Valley? Hopefully they're saying that he's holding fast to the gospel of our Lord and Jesus Christ. And what are they saying about you? Amen. See, the true test of our Christianity is what people say about us, what people are drawn to. And when they're drawn to the cross by our example of life, it takes on a whole new meaning in the lives of those around us. In Galatians chapter 5 and round about verse number 22, the Bible says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with his afflictions and his lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Yes. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Paul writes these words to the believer, reminding the believer that when these attributes are first and foremost in our lives, there's some things in our lives that we'll get away from. Envy, malice, strife, division. Why? Because when these attributes are in us, it brings about a peace that surpasses all understanding. Amen. You know, for the past couple weeks, we've been talking about the first two attributes of this Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. We've talked about love. And when I broke it down to you that there are four types of love. And as we talk about the four types of love, we understand that only these two are found in the Bible. Right. Agape and philos. Agape, unmerited love. Philo, brotherly love. And see, and when we have brotherly love for one another, we'll be like the city.
That's right.
That's all right, work with me this morning. Okay. We've talked about last week, we talked about the second attribute that we must possess. A second attribute is joy. And we talked about that in reference to who owns you. See, and when I think about joy, I think about Jesus. And I think about who owns me. I'm owned by the Lord. I don't know who owns you. And see, and when you understand who owns you, it takes on a whole new meaning in your everyday life. And today we're going to talk about peace. And I want to show you with this peace that you and I can overcome many of the obstacles that we face in our everyday life. See, the spirit of peace comes when an individual understands where peace comes from. Amen. When we study, when we meditate upon the word of God, God gives us a peace that is hard to recognize by the world. In Hebrews chapter 13 and round about verse number 5, Paul says, only let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. For God has said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. So with confidence, so with boldness, we say, the Lord is our helper. What can man do to me? Church, I'm learning that we must understand that peace comes from God. And when we understand where it comes from and we understand how to embrace it, church, life has meaning. First point is, who gives peace? Peace comes from God. That's right. Comes from God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because peace, like everything else on this time side of life, has been made through Jesus Christ. That's right. And when you understand that Jesus is the one that gives you peace, anybody you can fight with?
No.
No. Why? Because you understand where peace comes from. In Colossians chapter 1 and round about verse number 16, Jesus says, the Bible says, for all things were created by him that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by him for him. And so it's important to understand, if we're going to talk about peace, we got to understand where it comes from. Title of the lesson is, are you at peace in your spirit? Are you a peacemaker or a peace breaker? Peacemaker or a peace breaker? In our lesson text here, the Apostle Paul lays out these attributes of the Holy Spirit. And he talks about this word peace in a way that you and I need to understand. It's not something that comes from man, but it originates in the mind of God himself. Jesus says he gives us peace. In John chapter 14 and round about verse number 26, the Bible says, but the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, which the Holy Spirit, which is from the Father, will I send in my name. He shall teach you all things, and he will bring to memory whatsoever I have showed him. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. See, God gives us a peace that is hard to understand by mankind. Mm-hmm. Peace that comes from the Word of God. Peace that when you and I allow the Word of God to be the motivating factor in our lives, it comforts us, it strengthens us, it reminds us in the midst of our trials and tribulations, don't worry about it, God got your back. Amen. And somewhere down the line, I believe the believer has to understand who really has your back. It's not America.
No.
It's God. God has our back. And in the midst of everything that goes on, no matter what transpires, the believer must remain steadfast and unmovable and allow God to work his work in our lives no matter what transpires. Let me show you something. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to show you that in the midst of everything that goes on, this is the mindset that the believer has to possess. But this mindset comes when he understands what peace is and where it comes from. In the midst of everything that goes on, you and I ought to be a step above everything that goes on in this world.
Amen.
Why? Because we have a Savior that has overcome the world.
Yeah.
Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and round about verse number 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God may be of God and not of ourselves. We are troubled on every side, yet not in distress. We are perplexed and not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifested in our mortal flesh. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal body. So then death worketh in you and us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Dropping down to around about verse 16, the Bible says, for which cause we faint not. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Mm-hmm. For our light afflictions is but for a moment. Worketh for us a far exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, and the things that are not seen are eternal. Powerful to help us to know that in the midst of everything that goes on, God is always in control. Point number two, how do I manifest the Spirit? See, in order to manifest the Spirit in our everyday life, it requires something of us every single day. 2 Corinthians 13, 5, it requires a constant check of who you are and where you stand. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13, 5, my mind just went blank. Examine yourself, thank you, brother, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self whether Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate. See, in order for us to manifest the Spirit in our everyday life, church, we must examine ourselves every single day. We must look at our lives and make sure our lives is in harmony with the Word of God. That's why it's so important that you study your Bible every single day. 2 Timothy 2:15, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. That's why it's so important that you meditate upon the Word of God daily. And in meditating upon the Word of God, God will help you to be steadfast and unmovable. Psalms division 1, verses 1 through 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. See, this word peace here brings about an understanding of who you are. And so in the midst of everything that goes on, you remain steadfast. You remain unmovable. Yeah. Philippians chapter 4 and round about verse number 6. Paul says, be careful, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Paul says God gives us a peace that surpasses all understanding. God comforts us in the midst of all the trials and tribulations that we face in our everyday life. But in order to have this peace, it requires you to make a choice on who you will serve. Jesus says we must make a choice to either serve him or serve man. Jesus says no man can serve two masters. And I'm learning, church, that means that you got to make a decision on what's truly important in your everyday life.
Amen.
John, Luke chapter 6 and round about verse 46. Jesus says, why would you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you? Jesus said, if any man desires to follow him, you got to do something. You got to deny yourself. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. See, I'm learning that the peace that comes from God comes when an understanding of my obedience to what he requires of me. You know, I'm learning that most of my trials and tribulations come because I try to run ahead of God.
You're right.
I got a witness to anybody?
Yeah.
And you know, and every time you run ahead of God, guess what? You got to wait on him. It's not that you're waiting on him to catch up. You're waiting on him to catch you up. And I'm learning, church, that the more you trust him, the more you depend on him, the more God will help you to be victorious on this time side of life. We have but one purpose in life. And that purpose is to glorify the God of heaven. And Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10 shows the example that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And Jesus said, I've left you this example that you should follow. The example that you and I need to follow in 2018 is to follow the cross. And I'm learning that when you keep your eyes focused on the cross, you know your little problems you got? Don't mean absolutely nothing. Because he paid the price that you and I can be free. Man, what an awesome price. Want to encourage you as we look at these spiritual attributes. Ask yourself a question. Do I truly possess these attributes? Have I really allowed the Holy Spirit of God to do its job in my everyday life? See, because I'm learning that when you allow the Spirit to do its job, it'll do it to the glory of God.
Amen.
And you'll be able to do it to the glory of God. And Ephesians chapter 4 and round about verse 26, Paul says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. See, I'm learning that we allow the devil in.
Amen.
That's right. Because God gave us the Holy Spirit to keep him out. Mm-hmm. And so why do we invite him in? Because we neglect to do the simple things of studying, of meditating, on praying, and then on applying the word of God in our everyday life. Jesus, Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, he gives us this peace that surpasses all understanding. So when we talk about this peace, what are we really talking about? We're talking about prepared people. I don't know about you. How many of y'all want to go to heaven?
Amen.
But none of you are ready to die.
No.
So are we really prepared? See, when we talk about peace, we're talking about prepared people who understand who they are.
Amen.
That in the midst of everything that goes on, I am going to serve God regardless. That's what you said when you came up out that water.
Yeah.
And so that means no matter what transpires in my Christian walk, I am going to be a prepared person, and I am going to be eager, eager. How eager are you to serve with a positive attitude? Positive attitude. See, I'm willing to serve God whether you smile, whether you're excited, whether you cut. It don't matter.
Nope.
Because I'm a prepared person. You know why? I'm prepared because one day I got to leave here. If I didn't have to leave here, I would probably not be prepared. But I know one day the worms is going to call me to the other side. And when they call me, I want to be prepared because I'm planning to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Amen.
enter into the joys of the Lord. So I'm going to be prepared and I'm going to stay prepared. You know why? I'm going to study to show myself approved. I'm going to rightly divide the word of God. And I'm going to tell you just like it is, whether you want to hear it or not. Amen, Walls. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and round about verse number 1. The Bible says the Spirit especially says that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing doctrine, to seducing spirit, to doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You understand what Paul is saying there? Paul is saying some of us who are pretending to be, you're going to depart from the faith. And you know how you're going to depart? You're going to listen to the devil. Seducing spirits. And if you don't think the spirits are seducing today, look at the world we live in. Boy, they got wrong as right and right as wrong. And guess what? We're falling into it with both feet. That's right. The Spirit said that we're going to depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing. But see, if you stay prepared, you'll stay eager. Amen. How many of y'all hang around negative people? Y'all want to tell the truth, don't you? You got to remain eager in the midst of hanging around folks that are negative. Why? Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 and following. Who's the light?
We are.
Who shines?
We do.
Who tells the world about Jesus?
We do.
Boy, I sure glad I got a witness this morning. I don't care what y'all say. I got a witness this morning. Amen. Church, somewhere down the line, we believe this, or we ought to just padlock the doors and go on home. Because somewhere down the line, God is looking for individuals that are prepared. Amen. Revelation chapter 2 and round about verse number 10. John, as he writes to the church at the seven churches in the Asia Minor area, he writes these words to remind them in the midst of all the problems that they got, hold to God's unchanging hand. Amen. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10, John says, the devil is going to throw some of you into prison. You shall be tried 10 days. But John, on the end of that passage, says to the believer, but be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. I'm looking forward to my crown. Matter of fact, I'm going to make sure I get my crown. You know why? I'm not going to look at you. Amen, Walls. Because every time I look at you, I'm subject to fall. Especially if you're not positive. Especially if you're not eager to serve. But see, when you're eager to serve, boy, you know what kind of attitude that brings about? That brings about an attitude of understanding. Christ holds the keys. That's what motivates me, to know that in the midst of everything that goes on, I know who holds the keys to my life, to the keys to my salvation. And as a result of that, I know I got eternal salvation coming. I don't know about you, what you believe in, but I know what I believe in. I'm prepared. I'm eager. And I don't need you to be eager with me. Amen. But guess what? If you are, boy, we can just excite one another. It was the psalmist that said, the wise man Solomon, I'm sorry to say it, iron sharpens iron. And when I'm enthused and you're enthused, look out, the world. You know how it is. In the next couple of hours, you're going to be at the football game. You're going to be so enthused. You're going to be, whoa, did you see that? Why can't we do that for the Lord? You know why you can't do it for the Lord? You might not be on his team. And I say that with all the love in my heart. Because see, when you're on the Lord's team, man, life has meaning. In conclusion, what are you manifesting in your everyday life? Do you manifest the agape love, the Philadelphia love? Do you show folks the joy of rejoicing because of who you serve? Do you show the world that I'm at peace that surpasses all understanding? Church, I want to encourage your hearts. As we look at these attributes, make some changes.
Yes.
Make some changes. 30, how many? 5 days into the new year. Have you given up already? Have you decided to go back the old way? I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to things that are going to happen in this year.
Yes.
And I want to glorify God, and I want us all to be a part of it. Because when we work together collectively, nothing can stop us but ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a passage of scripture as I close in Psalms 133 that says how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. And if I understand it right, as you look at that passage of scripture, Israel is marching up a hill. And as they march up this hill and they quote this passage of scripture, they're hand in hand marching up this hill, tired, sweating, hungry, but they're marching hand in hand to let folks know that nothing can stop them because they're in harmony with one another. Church, that's us. We can change the world in which we live in when we collectively come together and do the will of the Father. Are you a peacemaker, peace breaker? Are you at peace with yourself? Hope I've said something to encourage your heart this morning. Those of us who are members of the body of Christ want to remind us, encourage us, that we ought to have a peace that surpasses all understanding. Those of you that are not members of the body of Christ this morning, you've heard the word of God. I hope and pray you've received it in the spirit I've tried to present it. The Bible says you must hear the word, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You must believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. John chapter 20 and round about verse number 30. Many other signs were done in the presence of his disciples, not written in the book, but these are written that you might believe. The Bible says you must repent of your sin. Luke 13:3, 13:5. Tell your nay, except you repent, you'll perish. Confess that he is the Son of a living God. Matthew 10:32 and 33. That's an ongoing confession for those of us who are members of the body of Christ. We confess that he's alive and well every single day of our lives.
Yes.
And Jesus says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But if you deny me before men, and I'm learning, it's so easy to deny Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, it's so easy to talk about the weather than it is about Jesus. Ought not to be so. We ought to be able to talk about Jesus no matter what transpires from day to day. Then the Bible says you must be buried in water for the remission of your sins. It is the watery grave that God does the spiritual operation. He washes away all your sins, and then he gives you his spirit.
Yes.
That's designed to guide and direct you. And these attributes that come from the Spirit, when we allow them to be a part of our everyday life, it rises us to a higher plateau that Satan doesn't stand a chance. I'm learning that when you really possess these 9 attributes, I've learned something about Satan. He leaves you alone. Just for a little while. But he'll leave you alone. Why? Because when you have these attributes in you, you're constantly on check of everything. How many of y'all drive down the street and never look at your gas hand? Why do you look at your gas hand? You want to keep in check that you got. So how many of us are walking this Christian walk and ain't got ourselves in check? How much gas is in your tank? Is it empty? Fuel lights on? Boy, I could preach that. That's some good stuff. But I hope and pray that I've said something to encourage. If you're here and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.